Blog Talk Radio.
Just threw out their t-shirts.
Here it is, baby. Can you hear us?
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Blue Shirt Underground Radio. Monday night edition. The Rangers are red hot. Voltek Volsky's got a hernia. Here we go. How are you, Eddie?
Okay, let me tell you something. Joyous. Can I say joyous again? 6-game homestand, 4-1-1 by my account. Everyone should be happy. There should be no bitching in Rangerland. But there is, Jim, and we'll get to it. A lot of controversy, but I hope everyone's enjoying the moment. Are you enjoying the moment, Jim?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, you know, this is a hockey show, but obviously we are all New York sports fans, and I think you would be hard-pressed to find a better New York sports weekend than the one we just had. I mean, you've got the Rangers winning 2 games, right? You've got the Jets with your J-E-T-S-S Jets with a big win in Buffalo. You got Eli, baby! You kidding?
Yeah!
Without Eli and the Giants doing it again to the Patriots in almost carbon copy fashion. You got the Rangers winning 2. The New York Mets didn't lose this weekend, and there was no basketball. If there is a better New York sports weekend than this one, I have no idea what it could be.
You know, I want to thank your Giants and the great Eli Manning for his wonderment in the last 2 minutes. Give that guy the ball, and he works magic.
Not to get into a whole football thing, but Peter King, in his article on his Monday Morning Quarterback, laid out the similarities between that last drive last night for the Giants and the last drive from Super Bowl 42. And it was amazing, the similarities, where the Giants started the drive, when he hit that big pass to Ballard. I mean, it was pretty really interesting. The Patriots returning.
Howard Ballard?
off for 17.
Oh, you just tied in. Tied in, yeah.
Jake Ballard, baby. Big boy. 6'7", 285 pounds. Rumbling, stumbling, bumbling the Giants.
All right.
Here we go. I had to get something off my mind off this turmoil today, these Ranger fans, the infighting. Look what we've created, this planet. Blue Shirt Underground planet we've given birth to, and the natives are fucking restless, fighting with each other. What are we, the Bronx Zoo?
You know what it is? It's that we got nothing to bitch about on the ice. I mean, I've seen a little. I was talking about, well, we had a little bit of, well, we won't get into that. But come on. I think this Ranger team, I mean, is kind of gelling before our eyes, and I'm glad they're gelling against these. You know, I'm not going to say we're world beaters yet. We're playing a lot of lesser teams, teams that, you know, really aren't that good. But it's coming together slowly, and I'm very impressed by the defense. And I'll tell you, Brad Richards is magic. Gabby is back. You know, a guy that was much maligned last year and criticized by Ranger fans. I don't know what it is. It surely can be Brad Richards. He didn't have Brad Richards 2 years ago, though. He's playing like a man possessed. Brad Richards is gold so far. There's none of this. We get the big ticket free agent, and then he stinks for us. No, this doesn't seem to be the case. I don't think it's going to be the case. Michael Delzato, who was Jim, you'll agree with me. In the off season, we do this show, almost every week of the year, and he was one of the more headed towards Mr. Whipping Boy than most other Rangers. And then you have another guy who's been maligned in the Blue Shirt Underground radio press, and Eric Christensen, and you're. Your friend Nick's got to be extremely happy because Christensen's playing out of his head. Everything looks good. Eminger and Roy Whitka look good. I mean, I think we just got to be happy. Enjoy the moment. What do you think? How are you feeling? I mean,
I don't know. I guess it was 2 weeks ago on this show. You know, they were slumping things. They were in disarray. There was no better way to put it. And I said that. And I think I used the term that there was something very broken with the team, and I thought there was a disconnect in the message between the coach and the players. And look, ever since then, I think they've turned it around. Tortorella said all along, just getting back home, getting off this road trip, getting back into a routine, and being able to practice, and. Are we seeing the fruits of that? I certainly think that has some credence to it. This team definitely looks a lot more like the team we saw last year, and the team that, plus Brad Richards in there. The defense, like you said, has played very well, and we started to talk about it last week. Michael Delzato is, to me, I think he's getting better every night, and his confidence is back. And the coach's confidence in him is back. He's putting him out there in key situations. He's getting power play time. He's playing well on the power play, I think. I think they're all – I know they only went 1-for-9 against the Canadians. Was it 1-for-9 against the Canadians?
Right.
Is that what it was? But you know what? The Canadians are an excellent, excellent penalty-killing team. And they were 90 – they said it on the broadcast the other night – I want to say they were something in the neighborhood of 96% on the penalty kill on the road. So that's the bread and butter of that game. Their game. I'm not going to get on the Rangers for not being able to convert on those power plays. You want to get on them a little bit. Get on them for last night when they had what seemed to be like a 14-minute 5-on-3 and couldn't get much going. But, against the Canadians, I'm not going to kill them for it. I do think those 9 power plays, even though they didn't convert on them, it does take something out of the Canadians' leg.
I want to say, I think the Rangers' power play, and again, I'm getting a little annoyed about the fans focusing on the power play, booing after they don't score on the power play. I think the power play the last couple of games has looked awesome. They haven't put the puck in the net, and they haven't put the puck on the net. which is really the big problem, is a lot of shots miss the net with that power play. But territorial-wise and moving the puck, I think they've been fantastic. Go ahead.
I just want to say they seem to be spending much more time in the offensive zone. How many times last year did they get on a power play, lose the faceoff, and immediately start chasing the puck down the other end of the ice? I mean, that was almost every power play.
Exactly. They couldn't gain the zone. It was just dump it in, the other team would dump it out, and that's the end of the power play would go by like that. It was,
right. We've talked about it before. Henrik Lundqvist does not like to come out of his net and play the puck, so the puck is going, he's not comfortable with his stick handling, so he does not come out of the net and come chase the puck down. He'll wait for the puck to come to him, so the power play's got to go all the way back down the other end of the ice, and it's got to get the puck and take it all and lug it all the way back down the other end of the ice. Now they're not doing that. They're possessing the puck in the offensive zone. They're getting the shots. And, yeah, I mean, they're still missing the net, and they're still, they're not converting as much as we'd like them to see, but you can't tell me there's not improvement. It's a case where the stats aren't bearing it out yet, but by year's end, they will.
Right.
And
I
just getting back to Delzato really quick, like Eddie said, we have spent a lot of time on this show getting on his case, a lot of time. And it's time to give him his due because he's playing better. Didn't he wear that Broadway hat the other night? Didn't he get the Broadway hat?
He wore the fedora, yeah.
There you go. That Broadway hat, that's becoming a big deal with Ranger fans. I like it. Everybody's wondering who's going to get the hat. They debate it. They talk about it on the Twitter and the Facebook group when they're not arguing with each other and ripping each other's hair out. So I like it. I like it. So give MDZ his props. He's earned them.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's a good start. From what they were saying during the broadcast, he's spent a lot of time with Brad Richards. It's taken him a long time to become a pro. Like, I think in his mentality, I think hanging around with Richards is a good way to do it. He was last night the victim of one of his stretch passes, an ill-advised stretch pass. When he gets the puck at his own blue line and he starts looking and scanning up ice, I get a little worried. But then he also made up for that mistake by delivering a great pass to Gabrick later in that game. That was good for a scoring chance, and I think the Rangers got a power play on it. So he looks much more confident, and it's a benefit, in a weird way it turns out, of Stoll being hurt, that he gets loaded with all these extra ice time, but it's proven to be fruitful. I mean, he's taking advantage of it. And I think the biggest difference in the Rangers even from last year, is the defensemen are joining the play in the zone. And we have a lot of defensive scoring this year compared to last year already. I mean, you're talking McDonough's got, what, two or three goals? MDC's got two or three goals. Girardi's got a goal and at least, four or five assists. And I really think Wittgen's got a goal. I mean, we're not used to getting goals from the back line. Usually our defense is, you get the odd goal now and then. But with the lack of scoring sometimes, you need your defense to score like that. And to see them chipping in and becoming part of the offense, I think it's a good thing. Especially when you've got guys like Biron has played so steady and you've got Henrik Lundqvist, the best goalie in the league. I think you can afford to take chances. With your defense once in a while. So somebody's covering back. So I'm very pleased with that. I'm a little bit cautious optimism. I want to see them to play some of the tougher teams in the league. I mean, we've been playing the Anaheims. We've been playing the Winnipeg Jets. When we start playing teams like Pittsburgh and, once we – all of the Flyers, the teams that we got,
Columbus.
They got a little bit of a jump to them and more of the playoff contenders, the Sabres, teams like that. But you got to love what you're seeing. I mean, you got to get these points. I say at the beginning of the year, these all count towards the end, because you know at the end of the year, regardless, and hopefully not, but we'll be scrambling for that playoff position, and you need to have these points in the bank.
And they're doing it at home. You know,
right.
We've been screaming for 2 years, they got to play better at home. So, you know, that's a good sign too. I mean, they've been a good road team for the last couple of years, but you know, they've always faltered at home in different spots, and you know, so it's good to see. Let me see. They're 4-1-1 at home, 3-2 on the road, 7-2-1 in their last 10, and right now they're in fifth in the conference. So, not too shabby. And the Rangers have games at hand, Eddie. The Rangers have games at hand.
I know.
Two games at hand on the Penguins, who are atop the Eastern Conference. They are atop the Eastern Conference without one of the best players in the game. I mean,
yeah, they certainly have. They have a great coach. There's no doubt about it. Coaching, drafting, and they have a great system. You know, and that's why they're there. But I want to talk a little about Tortorella because, you know, when we're losing, he's about as frustrating, and really, he's freaking annoying. I mean, when we're losing, he's unapproachable, and we tend to just want to just kill him. We want to strangle him with the line changes. Speaking of which, in last night's game, they were talking about Kyle Wellwood has played on 5 different lines this year. I was like, hey, gee, I mean, monotone. Don't you... Sean Avery was, I'm not Sean Avery, Artem Anisimov was on 5 lines in the first game of the year. He's talking about 5, Kyle Wellwood's been shuffled around. So, but when things are going good, he has this team all on the same page. And I really thought it was a good move moving Artie to the wing. I really think... because that opens up a room for Stepan, who I think has 10 times more vision than Artie has at center. Artie's a good player. Don't get me wrong. You know he's one of my favorite Rangers. But vision-wise, to set up plays, Stepan is able to slow down the game and just make that pass. It's almost like, for you people who remember Ron Greshner, Greshner was not the most fleet-of-foot guy. But he would slow the game down and just make a terrific pass. Now, Greshner was a defenseman, but Stepan has that vision, and it's amazing. It really is. And they're talking about in the chat room about how young the Rangers are. And this is one thing we've always – you talk about an albatross around our necks as fans and people following the team. We're young. This team is extremely young. I can't wait for Chris Kreider to get here next year. And when things are going right, he has everybody committed and ready to play. He's just so goddamn frustrating when they lose. That's it. I don't know if I can, you know, sometimes I hate him, and then sometimes I go, wow, he makes sure the Rangers come with the effort every game. And they do. Predominantly this year, they've come with the effort. I mean, and really, since he's been here, last year was a tremendous example of how they played every night and came to the arena. And now that they're coming at home, like you mentioned, Jim, that is so important. And that's been a goal of Tortorella's, is to get them to be a dominant force at home. And that's happening.
Yep. I agreed wholeheartedly. If you guys want to call in, 646-478-4692. And you'll have to fill me in as we go along here tonight if there have been any good tidbits besides the one you just mentioned on the MSG broadcasts, because until last night I hadn't seen an MSG broadcast since opening night. It's always been they've been on NHL Network, and the NHL Network's either had the road feed or they had Hockey Night in Canada on Saturday. Jesus, the Canadian Propaganda Network. Holy Christ. With what's listen to those guys. But when the Canadians are losing, oh, my God, forget it. What's with these penalties? And, oh, the refs are cheating us. And then the fans on their I don't know why I follow so many Canadiens fans on Twitter, but they're just, Jesus, are they sore losers? So when the game was over, I tweeted, okay, Habs fans at MSG, walk of shame time.
Well, that has become now the biggest rivalry. Well, I wouldn't say rivalry, but the biggest invasion of fans that now come to Madison Square Garden. Last year I was there, and I have to say it was like half and half at the Garden, which is like unheard of. I mean, there were at least 10,000 Canadian fans there, and they came out in droves in that game as well. They were very loud, and because of that, you got such a great mixture, and the crowd was so loud in that game, both, you know, for and against the Rangers. It almost had like a playoff atmosphere, and reminded me of those games that we used to play against the Islanders in the 80s, where the place was electric and you're hanging on. But once again, like the game I went to last year against the Canadiens, Carey Price got lit up. He got lit up early, and they put themselves in a hole, and they couldn't come back from it. Montreal, to me, looks like another team that I don't know, they look like they're going to struggle. They seem very small, but again, Rangers win, and we get to stick it up their asses with Ryan McDonagh, too, you know, which is always good. I love it, because last year I was there, and everybody's telling me, oh, well, we got Scott Gomez now, and I was like, yeah, we got Gaborik and that guy, number 27, over there. So it's good. It's good to see the Canadians go home all pissed off and all that jazz. Big win. Big wins, boys and
That's
girls.
Right. Before we get into anything else with the Rangers and we have if you guys want to call in 646-478-4692. I want to hear what you guys have to say about, you know, what's going on with the team, what's going on in this Facebook group, what's going on with Delzato. Or I should say, what you think about Delzato. And how about Brandon Dubinsky? When do we start getting on his case?
Brian Boyle's another guy.
Brian Boyle's another guy. But you know what?
A lot of the Rangers fans are...
Brian Boyle didn't get a $4 million contract.
He did get a pay raise, though, Jim, in the off season. Right?
Yeah,
I think you're right.
Dubinsky's being paid like he's a high-profile player on this team. You know, regardless of what your expectations are of him, you know, he's a high-profile player, no goals yet. What did Giannone say last night to the Rangers? Try and get Dubinsky an empty net goal.
Try to get him off the schneid.
Come on!
Didn't he lead the league in empty net goals last year with 5? Didn't we say that?
I think
that was a stat. Yeah, he did. He had like 4, he led the league in empty net goals.
Empty
and we
net
were
goal.
Saying, we said that like
he probably missed.
He probably missed.
By the way, speaking of empty net goals, that empty net goal Gaborik scored last night was beautiful. It was like a little backhand scoop, and he just kind of floated it up there, and it dropped in. And was it the Canadiens game that the Rangers almost put one in their own net? First power play of the game? Was that the Canadiens game?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
We'll see. You know, I started off the broadcast with joyous, 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 I'm not getting it. I'm taking the week off from getting on anybody. I'm just enjoying the homestand.
You're not going to get on anybody?
Even though
you already got on a little bit? Not going to get on anybody? Tortorella?
Well, I just said he's frustrating when we lose. Want to beat him up. You want to take that little Napoleon and just stomp him.
If you're not getting on anybody, the show's going to be over in about 10 minutes.
Well, I'll let you get on people. Ricky Todd's here.
It's up for me to play the heavy. Not even a Brandon do nothing? And a
no Brandon Tuffing. No
Brandon
Brian Boyle. No, yeah, I'm not going to get into that. But I know there's a player that Ricky and Fetch is happy about, and that's Belbib DeVoe. I like this Andre DeVoe. He's big, he's tough, he's looks good. Looks like he's a good fit out there, this Andre DeVoe.
Yeah.
Don't you think? I can't say, you know, He surely looks in place there. I think it's a big controversy on the Facebook page, and this is whether Avery is making the difference in this turnaround. And so I don't know. What do you guys think? I mean, do you think Avery – now, obviously, it's not his play on the ice. I mean, you know, he's played limited minutes, but you think this is just the normal progression of how things would have went, you know, without Avery? That's what I think. I think he does help in the locker room a little bit with a little bit – Oh, wait a minute. We have our first controversy.
I'm going to agree with my new friend Storm in the chat room. He's irrelevant.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
Irrelevant.
Okay. All right.
Irrelevant. He's a ghost. Casper. I didn't even.
Wow.
Come on. He's not. Whatever. Okay? Whatever. He's not making a. No, this team started to pick it up. It had nothing to do with them calling him up and just the thought of him coming back when they started getting – it had nothing to do with it. If the rest of his teammates like him and they're glad he's back, fine. He just – it's got nothing to do with the way they're playing.
Okay. Throw it out, Jeff. Don't kill the messenger. Yeah, you're buzzing me here. I'm getting the duck over here with the beeping.
We got a call on the line. We got a new call. I don't recognize this number.
All right, bring him on. Let's go. Let's get down to it. Let's get down to business. Let's get down to Swex.
551. You are on Blue Shirt Underground Radio. Who's this?
It's a mystery caller, brother.
All right.
Oh, a mystery caller.
Alex Baldwin, what do you mean, mystery? I changed my cell phone. What are you doing, guys?
Alex Baldwin.
Hey, Ricky O. It's Ricky O. I know that
That's
voice
right.
anyway.
Ricky.
How you
What's
doing?
What's going on, friend?
How are you?
I heard Belle Biv DeVoe, and I had to call in.
So what do you think?
I'm really upset, guys. I'm calling for the first time in 3 years. I got nothing to bitch about.
You sure?
I really can't say a bad word about the team. I mean, my boy Marty B is leading the league in goals against. I love Derek Stepan. He's one of my favorite players to come along in probably 10 years. My boy Double A is lighting it up. And Torts is keeping his mouth shut. So, you know, what more could you ask for?
Well, I want to ask you this because I really do consider you. You are the go-to guy for tough guys and toughness. And here's a question I have for you. Brandon Prust, to me, and there was some issue in the Winnipeg game, and I forget who it was, but they alluded that Brandon Prust would oblige this guy if there was a fight going down. Do you feel the need that the need that Brandon Prust should not fight as much and the Rangers should bring up a bona fide guy who will fight, or is DeVoe that guy?
Okay. This is something I've had a couple debates about the last couple of weeks with some friends of mine in the hockey fight circles and the websites. The NHL has officially eliminated fighting from the game and just hasn't told anybody. If you look at the last couple of weeks, Eric Goddard placed on waivers. Trevor Gillies placed on waivers, sent down. The Devils waived Rod Pelley and Mark Frazier again tonight. King out of Washington was placed on waivers. The big kid in Pittsburgh, I forget his name off the top of my head, the ex-Ranger prospect, the kid who Bugard fought twice last year at the Garden on Edmonton, placed on waivers this week and sent back down. The heavyweight has completely been eliminated in the NHL. Your middleweight, Brandon Prust, Daniel Carcillo, this kid in Pittsburgh, in Philadelphia now, the little Italian meatball running around down there, I forget his name.
Oh, Joe Vitale? Is that his name, Joe Vitale?
The kid who hit sour in the preseason with starts with an R. It'll pop in my head in a minute. This is what you're going to see now. And the reason you're going to see this guy.
Jack Rinaldo? Is that who you're talking about?
Jack Rinaldo. He's a little cheap shot artist. He's another Daniel Carcillo. He's all mouth, but he's a tough kid. But you're going to see the middleweight, the era of the middleweight now in the NHL, because the dinosaur kind of, and I don't mean this the wrong way, but it died with Derek Bluegarn. You're not going to see a designated enforcer anymore. Mike Rupp was brought in here, and it was a great signing. And by the way, I'm going to break this first. From what I'm told, Rupp has a torn meniscus 4 to 6 weeks. The surgery scheduled for tomorrow. And that's probably, you know, not a bad thing. Let him rest up. Get him healthy for, you know, the rivalry games after Christmas. But Rupp was brought in here to be a guy who's going to get 20 points, 8 goals, 12 assists. You know, maybe get it to 10, 15 fights a year. Handle it if it gets out of control. But the designated enforcer has been eliminated. And, you know, you got to look at something, too, the two sets of rules. The other night in the Montreal game, you saw Sauer get thrown out for a secondary fight, yet the same rules didn't take place for Getzlaf from Anaheim a couple weeks ago. In the same exact situation, they called it a roughing. The NHL has targeted those guys with suspensions and fines. And, you know, something that bothered me this offseason, I didn't get a chance to talk to you guys. The Islanders wanted to have a viewing party of the game last year against Pittsburgh when they had all the fights.
Oh, yeah.
The NHL stepped in and told them they'd be fined $1 million. They were going to be subsidized by having draft picks taken away from them for showing a hockey game that had fights in the game, which already had taken place. The NHL is doing everything it can behind doors to take the physicality out of professional hockey. And you're going to see Brandon Prust, by the way, you know this guy. I broke that trade. I love the guy. I think he's an unbelievable team hockey player. He's not a tough guy. If you talk to guys around the league, he's a pillow hands fighter. A lot of people compare him to Jay Miller, a guy who'll throw a ton of punches, but nobody ever gets hurt in any of his fights. He doesn't, you know, have knockout power. He'll fight anyone, but he's not a heavyweight. Mike Rupp, same type of thing. You know, Mike Rupp is a good puncher. Mike Rupp knocked Colton Orr down twice as a Ranger. People forget that. Colton Orr knocked him out cold in the last fight, but the fight series was 3-1 for Rupp in the four fights that they did have. The NHL has gone towards guys like Coletta, that prick in Buffalo, who is a stick man, cheap shot artist, very dirty hockey player, but that seems to be what Gary Bettman wants. He wants a guy like, you know, unfortunately,
Avery. It's not a platform for you to go off and give us the state of NHL pugilism. I ask you a simple question, my friend. Do you want to see Brandon Prust fight more, or do you think the Rangers have somebody in their system, or is DeVoe this guy that can pick
DeVoe's
up the slack?
DeVoe's a phony heavyweight now. DeVoe is a guy who will do okay against an okay fighter, but if he takes on a super heavy, he'll get killed. Is that what you're looking like? Is that what you're looking at here?
Yeah. I know you know these guys. You can gauge them pretty well.
He did surprisingly well against Paros, I'll tell you that. I thought Paros was going to hurt him.
All right. So you're like me. You're just happy the Rangers are winning. And there's nothing really to bitch about. Your boy Marty Biron gets the shutout. 3-0.
You know,
I have to go ahead.
Now, the happiest part of my season so far is watching the skills across the river you rode as fast as I've ever seen on Marty Brodeur, you fat pig. It's so nice to see him just falling apart at the seams. He can't lift his arms past his mouth now. And, you know, it's just fun to watch that.
Yes, I have to say, both other teams in the metro area provide tremendous amount of comedy. And especially since the Rangers are so young and you know, the future's so bright, you know what I'm saying? And meanwhile, these teams are just floundering, and the Devils are just getting worse by the second.
Since we got Ricky here, I have a little Islander fun, if you want to hear it.
Sure, give it to me.
Let me see, when was this? This was at some point during the Canadiens game, the Ranger-Canadian game. The Islanders tweeted, where did I put it here? The Islanders, I just had it here a second. The Islanders would like to apologize to any fans who were affected by the leaky ceilings. The Islanders apologize for any fans that needed to be moved tonight due to the leaky ceiling. Thank you for your patience. So, of course, me being the asshole that I am, I took that and ran with it, and I started to tweet things like the Islanders apologize to anyone covered in shit when the toilets backed up. The Islanders apologize to anyone bit by rats at the concession stands.
The
Islanders
apologize
for not
hiring Wang.
What was the other good one? The Islanders apologize for not hiring an arsonist.
Oh my god!
I mean, could you imagine?
I wonder
if Charles
Frank
is
calling tonight.
Is it true that they're really broadcasting their games this year on a college radio station?
I think they did that last year, too, didn't they?
Yeah, at Hofstra, yeah. I think that's where they do it. Maybe, I think the only people who would go to an Islander game are ones with the leaky brains. I mean, really. I mean, that's the only way I would go see that team. If I was, like, had a frontal lobotomy. But, yeah, it's great to revel in their pain, you know. And the Devils, of course. What a...
I got one question for you guys before I go. Do we see Mark Stahl before the end of the century, or is are they going to finally come clean and say he's got a broken disc in his neck?
Is that what you're hearing?
I heard it's a disc problem. I heard it's the concussion is long gone, and that there's either a compressed or a broken disc in the neck, and that's what I was told probably 3 weeks ago.
So maybe a scoop Tazu over here, maybe giving us something. I don't think you'll see Mark Stahl for the rest of the year. I don't know what the problem is. I just know that it's not going away, and they seem to be mystified by it. Even though they have the best doctors available in New York area, they're taking them to acupuncturists and witch doctors and seances and anything to figure this thing out. I don't...
Is it true that the Mets medical staff is now in charge of the Rangers?
Hey, that's what Frosty said when this all first came up.
Yeah, that's right. That's a good analogy. Yeah, he must have the same physical therapist is Johan Santana, probably.
Well, guys, it was great to be back on, and you know, I'm glad the season has been fun so far, and I'll be back on next week.
Yeah.
All right, Ricky. Everybody, good to hear from you.
Take care, guys. Have a good night.
You too.
Ow!
We didn't talk about the Anton Stroman signing.
How can I forget the mystery surrounding that?
Stroman's Bakery. I don't know why.
Anton Matzes by Stroman. The press asks John Tortorella Saturday afternoon, what's going on with Anton Stroman? He says, I don't know. I think they're talking to him. I don't know. I don't know anything about it. Saturday night, Hockey Night in Canada is interviewing Anton Stroman at Madison Square Garden. And because he signed with the Rangers. And what does he tell the girl interviewing him? Well, yeah, the contract was signed 3 days ago. They didn't want me to say anything.
Oh, my God.
I mean, ow! Ridiculous. Why would Tortorella feel the need to keep Anton Stroman under wraps?
I don't think he knows. I think Glenn Sandler is just doing things, and he has no idea.
Oh, Magoo, you done it again.
It's like, do you remember the movie MASH? The movie, not the TV show. I'm sure you've seen it, right? Do you remember they kept Spear Chucker Jones under the tarp for the first half?
That's
Anton Stroman. Pay no attention to the seventh defenseman behind the curtain.
I know nothing. Nothing.
Exactly. They kept asking him all these questions, and he just kept saying, no idea. I don't know. No idea. I don't know. No idea. Finally, one of the reporters asked him, when's your mother's birthday? He laughed, and he said, I have no idea.
I don't get it with Anton Strom. Why? It doesn't make sense. I mean, the whole keeping it under wraps. Is everything a secret in this place? I mean, seriously.
You know how we love to give guys nicknames on this show? Can we officially re-nickname Anton Stroman Spear Chucker Stroman?
No, that's politically incorrect. But and although not- I would like to... I would like to embrace it, but we can't. No, I like Strowman's matzahs better. The matzah kid. I'll go with that. The other one I can't go by. I just can't do it.
You can't get behind Spear Chuck and Strowman?
No. I can't. Strowman's matzahs by Strowman is better. Anyway.
Okay. All right. Fine.
And jokes aside, which I don't think there could be anything. Anton Strowman, right now, there's really no aside to him. Joking.
Ow!
I think he will actually may help the Rangers down the line with an offensive defenseman that can come in once in a while. He's got decent stats. I mean, I've never seen him play, but, you know, if he was on my fantasy league, I'd pick him up. So anyway, let's get some more phone calls.
You ready to talk to Frankie?
Frankie, let me tell you right now. I'm going to warn you before you get on the air. I'm riding high here. I'm in a good mood. Don't call us. Hang up now if you're going to tell me this guy's playing bad, this guy's playing bad, Tim Erickson looks bad in Hartford, whatever you're going to tell me. I want to hear nothing but good news. And with that intro, let's bring the great Frankie in.
Frankie, how are you?
I'm doing okay. Got over the skull fracture without the medication.
Very good.
Anyways, I want to be the first one to say that Girardi's probably going to be on the All-Star team this year.
All right, I like that.
I'm down with that.
Now for something that's maybe not so positive because I'm not sure. Heard McElrath may have suffered a concussion in the Kootenay game. Any truth to that?
I haven't heard that.
Been about that. Got no information on that yet.
I'm going to go to the...
He's like 6'5". Somebody hit him in the head.
Yeah, what are you, walking to a building? I mean, I don't get it. I don't know.
And finally, Bork has just gotten his, like, third or fourth concussion in the last, like, 2 years. I was a big guy against drafting him because of his concussion things, and now he's out at Hartford because of concussions again. I mean, I know he was only a number three draft choice, but why draft a guy with a concussion background? And before I sign off, that guy, Stallman, he's a minus 40 over three seasons. That's a pretty incredible record, if you believe in plus minuses.
Yeah, that's true. You're right.
And Tortorella doesn't like guys that are defensively challenged. You know, he went after Delzato, who I love, but, you know, poor Delzato, he came after him for over a year because of supposedly some defensive inadequacies, which were more attributed to taking Girardi away from Delzato and matching Girardi with Stahl. So, anyways, that's it. I said what I had to say. You going to beat me up now?
No, I'm not going to beat you, Frankie. I'm not going to beat you.
I love it.
I'm going to actually give you some information here. Jess Rubin's state of the prospect reports that Rangers 2010 number one draft pick Dylan Mickle is day-to-day due to an upper body injury. Rubenstein adds that McElrath took an elbow to the head on Sunday in the Warriors game against Kootenay and missed practice on Monday. Another guy says on Ryan.
Does upper body injury mean head injury?
I think so. That's about as up as you can get, right?
I don't believe that the information that comes out of the Rangers organization, you know, it really is less than honest, I think, sometimes.
You think so?
Why do you think we play that song Lies every time the Rangers? Look, I'll say upper body injury and watch. The song will come on. Watch. Day to day, McElrath with an upper body injury. That's right.
Lies, 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 yeah. Lies, 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 yeah.
He took a head to the elbow. We all elbow to the head. We all know what that means.
That too.
Right?
Okay, so was I the first one to say that one, too, besides the Girardi thing? that McElrath may be injured with a scut with a head injury?
No, you broke that news, and we went to we had to consult the Blue Shirt Underground news desk.
Okay, and do you think Girardi's going to make the All-Star team this year?
He certainly deserves it. I think so.
And what do you think about Bork? I mean, Bork
Ryan Bork,
Phil Bork.
According to Paul Doyle of Wales Tales, Ryan Bork has skated for the first time yesterday since suffering a concussion in the third game. When they drafted Ryan Bork, correct me if I was wrong, was he still in high school or was that Kreider?
They got him out of juniors. They got him out of juniors. His center and Tessier and Bork played the wings, and this other guy, Marsichon, is really, really doing well. Down in Hartford, and he actually is a cute little fighter. I mean, like, for a little guy, 5'9", he doesn't back off. And he's doing really well. And Ken Jernander, who is like the coach down in Hartford, he has had nothing but positive to say about this center, who's only 20 years old and led the Quebec Hockey League in scoring playoff goals and all these other scoring statistics last year. And he's only like 5'9", 170. And Jernander says, for a little guy, he goes in all the places where little guys are not supposed to be. In the corners, you know.
Yeah, no, he looked very good in Traverse City. He looked very good, and I know he's doing well with the Whale. So
he's only 20.
Christian Thomas, I think. Wasn't he the center for Christian Thomas over there in what the hell are you playing over there? I forgot what Christian Thomas is. Like, but anyway,
Thomas is another 5'9", 5'9" guy, 180 pounds, something like that.
Yeah, well, we either go real tall or real small. That's the way it is in Rangerville.
But it doesn't matter. If you can score goals and if you can skate and you're quick, you can make it in the NHL. That's the problem with Zuccarello. He can score goals, he can skate, but he just lacks that extra gear, you know, that would differentiate him from the average hockey player, and he's not going to fit on the Rangers because Tortorella doesn't see him as a top six player on the Rangers. He might be a top six player on some other team, but Zuccarello, it ain't going to work.
I sometimes think that Zuccarello, if he would benefit like Michael Delzato with major ice time, may be able to do what everybody thinks, but as long as he's going to be a third and fourth liner on John Tortorella's team, he's never going to be what he's supposed to be. Like you said, maybe in another team he emerges, but I don't think on this team.
Well, you see what Tortorella does to a guy like Anisimov. He rubs him the wrong way. One play, and all of a sudden he's on the fourth line. You know, so Anisimov is a great checker, and he's a decent scorer, and he's only 22 years old, and he's 6'3". So Tortorella is a very unforgiving guy. He's a tough guy to play for. So
Very tough.
Yeah.
All right, Frankie, we didn't beat you up. See, we did good.
I say some real controversial stuff sometimes.
We love it.
We embrace it.
I feel really strong about the things I say. That's why.
Nothing
wrong with that.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Frankie.
Good night, gentlemen.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
All right, the great Frankie. I'm having problems with the switchboard tonight. Can't get clips to work here, and I don't know why. Huh.
Of course, people do go both ways.
That's fun.
You're waiting the same one at the same time.
Anisimov.
Yeah, Anisimov. Listen.
Anson Williams.
It's like, you know, it's like Archie Bunker sometimes. Sometimes, you know, but I like it. We all know who he was talking about. Number 42, Artem Anisimov, in your program, who's been waking up with the assists of late. He's only got one goal. I like him on the wing. I think that's where he's got to be, boys and girls. Artem Anisimov. All right, so, you know what?
You like him better on the wing?
I like him. If he's going to play with a better quality of line mates, I like him better. We have another caller? Because I feel like doing the mouth bit today, the hippo holler. Yeah, I mean, let me see what we got here. We got any new people here? I'd like to impress the new people.
We got, I think, Rock's on hold.
Oh, yeah, let's get Rock on. I was want to do my bits. This is a Rock.
What's up, Rock?
Bring him on.
What's up, boys? How are you?
All right, how you doing?
Good, good.
Doing good.
Hey, let me, before we get into it, I want to ask, what's your impression of the renovated garden so far?
I'll tell you, it's a little confusing. I've had season tickets for almost 10 years, and I'm still trying to figure out my way around a little bit.
The reason why I'm asking is, I just want to, let me just real quick, I've noticed that now that we're, I don't know, five home games into this, six home games, as more people are starting to get to the garden, I'm seeing more and more complaints, if you can believe it.
Oh, well, yeah. As fickle as the Ranger fans are, I'm not surprised. The garden, it's the parts they've done are beautiful. I mean, the concourse is huge. The big thing is that there's not a lot of things open, especially concessions. That new balcony they put at the West End, I mean, it's really cool. There's seats up there. The concessions are open up there, but on the main concourse, there aren't as many concession stands open. The lines are stretched out through the concourse, so though the concourses are huge, there's this big line going through it, so it blocks the whole concourse off. I know where I'm sitting up in the 400s, they closed the women's bathroom, so there's the women's bathrooms now downstairs.
There's a lot of little things.
And then where they put that West End balcony, and I think Newman mentioned it last time, it's ridiculously obstructed. I mean, you can't even see the goal at the other end. I mean, it's not even the clock. You can't even see the goal. If you're in those top back rows,
wow,
in that section over there, you can't even see the net. That's how obstructed it is. So from that perspective, I guess I understand the complaining. I'm not going to the game to eat right now. I'm going to watch them play. I'm willing to go through willing to accept the growing pains as long as the team's winning. Honestly, I don't really care what the building looks like right now. I mean, in 2 years, we're going to have probably one of the nicest buildings in sport. And, you know, I'm willing to go through the growing pains, but I can understand people in those sections. I also heard that the new seats down below are not as wide as the old seats. So that was another complaint that I heard. So, you got to deal with it. I mean, would you rather go play in the Meadowlands or the Izod, whatever the hell it's called, the Rock, or God forbid, the Coliseum? You deal with it for two years, and you move on.
I know. I'm with you on that. It's just that they hyped up the place like the new Madison Square Garden. I went to the game. I told you, when you go to the ticket office, it looks like the DMV. I mean, you know, I was ready to turn in my plates. I mean, it was beige. I was like, what the hell is this? I was expecting, but like you said, it's phase one of the three phases. So, and I'm like you, believe it or not, I'm not a big eater at the game because I really can't afford to. I will sacrifice for a diet soda, soft drink, as they say.
Right.
Anyway, but I wanted to ask you, and you guys may know this, and you guys in the chat room as well. You know when they show the Rangers coming out of that glass booth like the Dallas Cowboys have? Where is that exactly?
I was thinking about that last night. I'm assuming it's where they walk in, and that's on the maybe it's on the main level or maybe the main level of where the 100s were.
Because they don't come on the ice in the same spot they used to, right?
No, they don't.
Right, that's what I thought.
They come out. Like they don't come out at the end of the rink. Like they come out of like somewhere off, not in the middle, but you know, off.
They come
off
at the end, like almost by the goal line, by the Rangers net. That's where they come out.
Oh,
now.
Okay.
They don't come out the middle anymore. They come out almost like the goal line.
I got it back. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Well, at least where I'm sitting. So, yeah, it's really all confusing now. It's you know. it's going to be nice. I think people need to be patient. If you're going to the Garden to eat, and then don't come to the game. That's how I look at it. I understand people may be coming from work or whatever. You know, the food's not that
right.
good there, and it's well overpriced. So if you want to eat something outside. And I exactly. So
bring something from the side outside.
Exactly.
So let's get down to it. Let's
sure.
get down to brass tacks. Let's get down to business. What do you think? I want your summation of the homestand. Go.
Well, first off, I was at the last three games. I was at, actually yeah the last three. I wasn't at the Winnipeg game. I was at Montreal, Anaheim, and San Jose. And I like what I saw. I mean, they're scoring goals. I mean, that to me, that's a huge thing. Well, with the exception of the Anaheim game, the team is putting four goals up, you know, for the last, you know, for the latter part of the schedule. And, you know, they're scoring. And I think that's a huge plus in the right direction. I think splitting up Richards and Gabrick has given the team two legitimate scoring lines. And I really like what I've seen, and you know, I'm going to wax a little poetic about Richards. That fourth goal the other night against Montreal was monumental. I mean, it changed the complexion of that game, where they looked like they were going to blow another three-goal lead, and you know, all of a sudden he rips one, you know, top shelf on Carey Price, and that's what they've been lacking, that clutch performance, that clutch goal by a big-time player. To me, was huge, and I really think that's going to be a great confidence builder going forward. You know, I thought Wojtek Wolski was playing better before he got hurt. The last two games he had played in, I thought he played pretty well. I really am liking the depth of the lineup too, because you can get, you know, despite the fact we all want to crucify Erik Christensen, he's actually had a few pretty good games, it's nice to see that the depth that the team has, that if they can overcome injuries, and we're not bringing up the Brody DuPonts and you know, we're scraping the bottom of the barrel in Hartford, that we actually have some NHL caliber players that can play in this lineup if an injury were to come about. So, you know, I like what I see so far. I haven't seen that really dominant win, like where they still have those moments where they scare the hell out of you, where they play like a bat out of hell, and then all of a sudden, it used to be the third period they play fantastic. Now it seems like the first period. Usually the first period they couldn't even get their legs under them. And now the first period seems to be their best period now. So I think, like you said, it's a work in progress. I think we're moving in the right direction. I like what I see. I'm a little bit weary with their defense still. I love the way, but on the flip side, from a defensive point, that's what I mean. But from an offensive point, they've gotten a lot of contributions from their defense this year. I mean, would you think that Ryan McDonough would have more goals, you know, than Dubinsky or Stefan or Anisimov? I mean, they're getting a lot of contributions from their back end, and you know, it just hopefully we just keep on going. I'm optimistic. And you know, let's just keep going.
Would you agree with me that, and you probably will because you are astute, that the defense is contributing a lot more than we've seen, and that is really helping the Rangers. It's taking the pressure off the forwards, you know, to score. Would you agree with that?
I agree with you 100%, Eddie, and it's so true, because I think there was a stretch where three of their last four goals, and I don't remember where it fit in, were all scored by defensemen. And, yeah, I mean, they're getting contributions from everybody, and McDonough's really, you know, risen to the occasion this year and really stepped into Stoll's shoes really well so far. You know, I'm the Stroman signing, to me, I don't know if it was a knee-jerk reaction. I always get, you know, Columbus is so bad, you know, and I don't look at Stroman's plus-minus because he did play on some pretty bad teams. So we'll take his plus-minus with a grain of salt, and, you know, it is what it is. But here's a guy where all these teams are having defensive problems. Montreal is missing defensemen. There's about three or four teams that are dying for defensemen. Columbus lets this guy go, lets him walk at 25 years old. They let him walk. To me, it's to me, with what we talked about last week, it's let's see how many defensemen we can throw against the wall for as cheap of a price without having to sacrifice any assets, and let's see if it works. If it doesn't work, we'll put him on waivers and we'll wipe our hands of it. Or it could also mean that Mark Stoll is legitimately hurt and they need a sixth, they need a seventh defenseman to just fill a spot in case someone gets hurt.
I think they figured out that Brendan Bell wasn't the answer, and although I had good things about Parlett down in the minors, I think they're a little bit worried that if one of their more offensive, maybe if Delzato goes down, that they have a problem with a power play quarterback. Yeah, I know what you're saying. You know, I was thinking the other night, it's so bad Columbus. I only wish we could get Vinny Prospo back. Because he's having such
yes,
a good year. Although I think that ship has sailed, you know.
Oh, yes. I think the team is going to – I think they're going to stay the course right now. I don't think they're going to do anything else. But, you know, these two guys with Pecorine signing to that ridiculous contract, to me, that's giving that guy $7 million a year, making him the highest-paid goalie in hockey, I think is asinine. But, you know, it is what it is.
Got those pads, those long, thick pads.
Yeah, I'm not saying he's not a good goalie. I just don't know if he's would be considered the best goalie in hockey. You know, paying him that type of money, you know, just to keep him off the open market, which leads me to believe that either Ryan Suter or Shea Weber is getting traded. I can't see them having, you know, three guys on that team, a team that doesn't spend to the cap.
Right.
Having three guys making relatively. You know, they may try to lowball Ryan Suter because he's Shea Weber. Well, I don't even know because Ryan Suter is not restricted free agent. I'm sorry, let me rephrase that. So I can't see them keeping all three of these guys. So, you know.
Small market team, they said.
I can definitely see the wheels turning with that and them maybe looking into going that direction. Because like you said, the defense is good, but I don't know if it has that Chris Pronger in his prime, that Nick Lidstrom in his prime, Leach, they don't have a guy that has a really big shot or is a really legit quarterback power play guy. Delzato's still young. You know, we're still grooming him. But, you know, I'm not really 100% sure. I'm not sold on their defense. You know, from what I've seen, every team that has won a cup, for the most part, had that one big stud defenseman, with maybe the exception of Carolina. But every other team has had that one big stud defenseman, you know, back there kind of leading the way, and the Rangers don't have that. So that might be their one Achilles heel going forward. But I don't have anything bad to say. They're winning. They won four games straight. You know, they're playing really well. And I really don't have anything really bad to say. And they're not taking the stupid penalties anymore either. There are no more parades to the penalty box. So
exactly.
I really don't have anything bad to say.
And they're drawing more penalties now than they're getting. You know, so this is a good thing. So Tortorella
can get Stavinsky to start scoring. I mean,
yeah,
he's someone asked me the other day what my opinion was, and I'll throw this question to you guys. Would you say Dubinsky's had a good start to the season, or would you say he's been okay?
How would you rate
his start of the season? A guy that usually comes out of the gate like a bat out of hell, who usually has 10 goals in the first 40 games of the season, or 15 goals in the first 40 games of the season, how would you feel that he's come out?
If I had to rate his play on a scale of 1 to 10, I'd give it about a 4 right now. I mean, for a guy who got – is he playing like a $4.5 million player? I don't think he's playing like a $2 million player. Fedotenko shows me more jump and jazz than Dubinsky does. And I think Brandon will score his goals down the line. But do I ever think he's going to be a 25 to 30 goal scorer? We've had this debate 1,000 times. No, I just don't think he has it in him. So it's frustrating because sometimes he can take that initiative and make plays happen. But, you know.
To me, he's not even shooting the puck. I mean, I can't even. I'm not asphyxiating myself on him, and I'm not picking on him specifically. I'm just going by what I've seen, and I haven't seen. I've seen a lot out of Callahan. I'll tell you, for a guy who I wasn't high on when they first had him, and I eat crow for my friend all the time, and all the time he hammers me about Callahan. He's made me eat crow big time. I've been absolutely impressed. That C hasn't seemed like it's weighed on him at all. If anything, he has relished that position. And I'll tell you, from what I can see so far, he's been the best captain since Messier, in my opinion. Because he hasn't shrunk. That goes for Yaga. That goes for Leach. That goes for a lot of guys. He seems, from what I've seen so far out of him, and obviously it's a very early season, he hasn't shrunk. With that, he hasn't been shrunken by the weight of that C on his jersey.
I said it last week. How refreshing was it to see somebody wearing the C contributing on the ice in a big, tangible way like we have seen Ryan Callahan? He is, I'd give him a 10 if
right.
I had to judge Ryan Callahan. He has, it's so exciting to see a captain. He got a couple good punches in on somebody last night, too.
And he steps in when Dubinsky got leveled against Montreal the other night. You know, I don't think
Lamb
Eyes would have done that.
No, there's no doubt about it. Cali has stepped up, got the big payday, got the C, and now he's producing. Where's Brandon Do-Nothing?
Here we go. Well, I'm not going to shoot on anybody tonight. I'm in a good mood, and he's off.
I want to throw one last thing at you. The chance for Sean Avery from the Rangers crowd, to me, you know, the team's struggling to score goals. They're grasping at straws to get goals, especially against Toronto in the home opener, and they start chanting his name. The guy had 3 friggin' goals last year. Their problem is not, they don't need another fourth line guy. And when I had heard that, I turned to my friend, I go, are these fans serious? Listen, I met Sean Avery. He's a nice guy. He fit his role when he was younger. I kind of feel that I just don't think he has the edge anymore. I think he's kind of lost a little bit. I think they kind of put the reins on him. Do you want another guy that's just going to come in, take stupid penalties, and maybe get into occasional scrap? To me, he's a waste of cap space. You know, if he wasn't making to almost $2 million, I'd be like, oh, you know what, fine. But to have a guy on the roster playing 4 minutes a night, this is Todd White all over again. Another guy making $2 million for the season, whatever it is, playing 4 minutes a night is stupid. All you're doing is killing your cap space for the trading deadline, and then be scrambling around for that again. So I mean, I like Sean Avery. He has been a good Ranger, but the ship has sailed. That's my opinion.
Well, you're with Jim, and I'm almost there, but I think Avery's got a little bit of magic left in him. But when you put it cap-wise and compared him to Todd White, I'll be with you and Jim real quick.
That's a bunch of garbage.
I mean, it is. I cringe when they chant that at the Garden. It just makes them sound stupid.
Yeah,
it's just like.
Worst part of it. It makes us look like idiots. I mean, we look like idiots enough that we even want this guy back. But to sit there and chant his name like he's Gretzky or Leach or Rocky Balboa, I mean, come on. It's ridiculous.
In 85, with Ted Seda, they set down Pierre LaRouche. They set down Nick Fetillo. Nobody was saying, we want Nicky, we want Pierre. No, but we want Avery, this Schlemiel. We got to have him.
The culture of the young Ranger fan, the post-lockout Ranger fan, that's the mentality of them at this point. And it's more so the early 20 to mid-20-year-old fan who loves to wax poetic about Avery. And let's be honest, I mean, the record showed for it prior to last season that when the guy was healthy and he was in the lineup, he made a difference. But the guy's 31, almost 32 years old now. You can only play that stupid style, act like a jerk for so long before you wake up and say, listen, I'm not a kid anymore. Can't be acting like a moron. But
Rock, I have a mission for you. And this was just brought up. I must be telepathically synced with Mets and Gretz. I have now found out that there is a moron at this game that is doing that pop and sucks in the beginning of every period. I want you to locate what section this guy's in. All you people are going to the games. Because I am going to confront this individual. I'm not going to use violence. I'm going to try to talk to him normally. But I guarantee he's in that age group you just mentioned.
And let's put the dogs of war.
Yeah,
because
it's every game now.
That chant is just stupid. And they were chanting it in the Winnipeg game. They chant that more than they chant "Let's go Rangers."
Yeah, it's bad. You know, and I agree with you. I mean, if you want to do it at an Islander game to kind of get under their skin, I can understand that. But it's kind of served its purpose. And half the people chanting it don't even know what the significance of it is.
Half.
You know, all they probably think
it's
feeling
generous. I think you're being very generous when you say half.
Oh, all right. Well, there you go.
If 25% of them know what the reason is for that chant, I'd be amazed.
You definitely could be right.
I think I got a little bit of a touch of the thrombosis after. So I had, my thrombosis started acting up there. Got to calm down. Didn't I say it was a joyous time? Rock's got me all
fatherly juices.
Fatherly juices.
Did you happen to watch the Anaheim game and then the shootout? And Samsko and Corey Perry. Oh, he's going to try that chain. He messed up Corey Perry and Bobby Ryan in the shootout. Did you guys catch that?
No.
What,
really?
Call him Tyler
was
Perry, Matt Ryan?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. And
my God.
Dubinsky is double-teaming somebody. And I was like, how is Dubinsky
fatherly
double-teaming?
And then last night,
Troutwig in the pregame called Zach Bogosian Eric Bogosian.
I know. You know, these guys.
Is he a baseball player or something? Eric Bogosian?
Duguay is the worst of all of them, though.
Eric Bogosian.
He's a wrestler?
He's a movie maker. He's a director.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah, he called him Eric Bogosian.
I know Zach Bogosian has a brother in the league. I don't know what his name is or what
Mark
team he plays
Paul
for.
Has a brother in the league. I heard that.
We would know that. But I'll tell you, of those MSG guys, Duguay to me is so ill prepared for a game. Every time you hear him, he has absolutely no clue. I mean, I told you this guy last year. He's telling me that San Jose's missing Rob Blake. Meanwhile, Rob Blake's been retired for a year and a half. And he's saying in the pregame, "Oh man, that's where he wears the A." Meanwhile, they show a cameo of him, and he's not even wearing a letter on his jersey. I mean, we're not even doing our homework, and that's the part that just shows as a fan that this guy thinks we're retarded, that we don't pay attention, and that we lock in for only him. I don't know. I just get frustrated with that whole thing. Do your freaking homework. You're getting paid. You're working 3 hours a night. Do your freaking homework on the other team and know what the hell's going on.
We deserve better. That's what it comes down to.
It's a third-rate broadcast, if that.
Third-rate, with a budget that's almost as big as ours.
And Bill Pito last night on the 150 douchebag minute or whatever they call that, two guys were getting ready to fight, and he says, "Oh, and they start the do-si-do." He should have been fired on the spot. The head of MSG Network should have come out and just took his microphone off, ripped off his glasses, and said, "You are fired. Do-si-do."
The same guy that said Glenn Hanlon should be in the top 10 goalies of tri-state area of all time.
Yeah.
Just threw the bolt out the window.
Chicken in a bread pan, pick it out, no. Here we go, do-si-do.
Alabama left. God. Alabama right.
Promenade.
Yeehaw!
I have never square danced. The only square dancing I know is from Bugs Bunny.
Storm Fright, straight Avery for an announcer. what a shit circus that broadcast is. You got the Jamie Lee Curtis in drag there, freaking the Duguay with his skin
David Copperfield.
David Copperfield and his Bill Pito, I love that. In a developing situation. That's a good one. Yeah.
Boy, what a show. Wow.
All right, Rob.
All righty.
All right, Rob. Talk to you next week, buddy.
You got it, guys. Have a good night.
Take care.
Take care.
Thanks. Later.
All right. We got 45 minutes left to go. You want to take calls? What do you want to do? You want to do a quick
call? Yeah, we haven't done that in a while.
All right, let's find your music. You guys on hold, just hang in there. About 5 minutes, we'll do this real quick for the newbies that are here that really want to welcome the new people. And without further ado, ladies and gentlemen.
Mr. Mouth.
It's Mr. Mouth, the new game from Tomy that can't keep his big mouth shut.
Mr. Mouth.
Try to flip your chips into his mouth before he closes it.
Mr. Mouth.
First one out of chips is the winner.
Mr. Mouth.
I'll just give him my hippo hurricane collar.
November 7th, 2011. Let's welcome Adam from Chicago. Adam from Chicago, who was at our first viewing party, flew in all the way from Chicago and was there. Adam, a long-time listener. We love you. I think you're getting funnier with age. The great Amy Hernano. That's right. She's holding down the Ranger Fort in Denver, Colorado. She's found an apartment. I read her stuff on Facebook. She's doing well when she's not fighting with half the internet about something. And then we've got Bella Bell. I have to say that's a name I can pronounce. I may just call her BB. I may just call her Bella. But one thing I will not call her, Brendan Bell, because I wasn't a fan of Brendan Bell. And then we got BryGuy27. When I hear his name, I think of 127. Not Ryan McDonough. Alex Kovalev. Or Sam Rosen called him Alex Kovalov, which I never got. Kovalov, Kovalev. It was Kovalev as far as I knew. Everybody other announcer called him Kovalev. Alex Kovalev, one of the greatest performances by a Ranger in the playoffs in 94. You never see highlights of him. Sometimes even more important than the great Mark Messier. City Hockey Fever, the great Paul Ganduzzi, you are a doozy. City Hockey Fever, always in the know about hockey, following it ad nauseum. And the Coast of the Crazy Greek, my God, you either fear the man or hear the man. Actually, when you hear the man, you will fear the man. Coast of the Crazy Geek, Greek. Whoa, I said geek. Sorry, Coast, it'll beat me up. Coast of me and you may be the two loudest people on the planet. And then it's kind of historical. That's right, Cutter. Keeping it real in the field in Kitchener, Ontario. Cutter has publicly challenged me to fisticuffs. I have to say, brother, I think I probably could beat you up. I think me and the great Jeff Diamond, Jeff, I think I could beat you. I mean, I do have that sumo wrestling background. The great D.B. Maven, one of the biggest fans of Guy Hebert, who used to play for the Rangers, loved the way Guy played for the Rangers, and often visits Troy, New York, in order to try to catch Guy Hebert in person photographs. And then we got Gabby, 1981. When I think of 1981, I think of the New York Rangers. The 1980-81 New York Rangers with Chris Kostopoulos on it. The great Chris Kostopoulos, who is co-host with the great Paulie D on the Instigators Hockey Show. Yes. And then we have five guests. Guests 26756, that's Glenn Sather. Guest 27184, that's John Rizasshole. Guest 28074, that is John Gino. Howie Sussman, the great Howie Sussman, keeping it real. Was Howie from Vermont or something? Where is he from, Jim?
Poconos.
The Poconos.
Lives up by my dad.
He's from the Mount Airy Lodge. Right now he's listening to this broadcast in a giant champagne glass. You hear that, Ed?
He lives right near Schmiedeberg Mountain.
Schmiedeberg Mountain in that big champagne glass. And then Jack Love, of course, the great Greg Jacko. We like you, Greg. You're always in there. You're on the Facebook page. Let me remind you, there is a Facebook page, Blue Shirt Underground Radio. Join it. It gets volatile. It gets
before I shut it down.
Before Jim shuts it down, you better sign up. And then
beautiful Mount Airy Lodge. Sorry, they were talking about it in the chat room. I had to do it.
Dot68, who has been bringing her Ranger gnome? That's right, to Cafe 31, which is right across from Madison Square Garden. As a good luck charm, and from what I hear, Eva's gnome is 4-0. Keep that gnome going. Eva. And then we got the great John Grossman. Jonathan Grossman. That's
I thought
right.
Cutter was our Ranger gnome.
Jay Grossman, I have to say, I don't know. I have anything for you. Jay Gross, man, I don't know. Seriously, folks, as a comedian, Jonathan, people go, hey, man, that's Grossman. How many times did you hear that joke? Jonathan from Australia, how could I not forget one of the first foreign listeners of this great program that we bring to you every
right.
Special Monday Night Edition. Jonathan was one of the first. He's certainly not going to be the last, but they always say you remember your first, Jim. And I would certainly remember Jonathan.
I do.
My life. And the very vociferous, verbose, critical. One
I
of those
her up in Jersey City. You said you always remember your first, and I said I do. Black hooker up in Jersey City.
And critical, I have to say, if you've never heard Critical speak, it's somewhere between Hal from Space Odyssey and I can't think that. Joe C. Zocuccioni, the great Messer Gretz, loves Wayne Gretzky more than any man really should. One of the all-time great, keeping it real in the field in Tennessee, Nashville, as he calls it, Smashville, Tennessee. They're all around. I mean, you know, every state we got representatives and countries, Jim. I can't believe this shit. Mr. French, hey. He even joined the Blue Shirt Panther Rep Underground Radio. I said it again. Underground Radio Facebook page. Mr. French, an elder statesman. Remember, respect your elders when it comes to hockey. The other stuff, forget about it. But when Ranger hockey fans have something to tell you about the history of this team, listen, because you're not going to get it from MSG. All you're going to see is Mark Messier ran the fucking marathon. Who cares? I don't care. Thank you. Nick Knack, Patty Whack, let me tell you something about Nick Knack. He's done more drugs than Timothy Leary and Keith Richards combined. That's come out the other end completely normal. So it does pay to do drugs. Nick Knack, Patty Whack, I love you like a brother because basically I see you more than my brother. The Quick Release. Well, that reminds me of my first girlfriend as well. The Quick Release. Let me tell you something about Quick Release. Oh, jeez, these drum rolls, man. The Quick Release. Is, you know what, Sean Avery should be a quick release. Let's release it really quickly. Quick release, thank you for being here. And then we have Ranger 84. When I see Ranger 84, I think of the 84 Rangers. I don't know who coached the 84 Rangers, probably Craig Patrick. And then Rock, who you heard from before, the astute season ticket holder of the New York Rangers. Rock, thank you for your phone call. Rocco Sansone, the great Rocco Sansone, who's always at the Metropolitan Library, or he's always at the library, this kid.
And remember, should not be allowed out of the house.
Yeah. He shouldn't be allowed out of the house, and I don't think he leaves too often, except maybe to go to the library. And then, of course, Jim's new favorite phone caller, Storm 1211. Storm, welcome to the broadcast. Thank you all for coming out tonight. This is did I miss Grabby? I miss Grabby, too. Grabby! I like that. You combine Grotchev and Gabarit's name together, and you came up with Grabby. Oh, I came out with 1981. Sorry, I'm all over the place. I've got to take my medication. Thank you for all coming out.
Oh, that's great.
And this concludes the Blue Shirt Underground Radio Rogal.
Thank you, Eddie. Beautiful job, as always. All right, we have about 35 minutes to go. Let's go to the phones. And we're going to bring in one of my favoriteest people. This is a person who I literally begged to come listen to our show. And now that she does, she can simply not get enough of it. Listening from a phone booth in Boulder, Colorado, Amy Ernano. Amy, how are you?
Hi, guys. How's it going?
Going
hey,
well.
Going,
how are you?
I'm in Denver now.
Oh, all right. Listening from a phone booth at the 16th Street Mall near a random piano in Denver, Colorado. Amy, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Good to hear from you. We've missed you. We're glad you're back, returning. What's going on?
I missed you too. What do you mean when I'm not like fighting with people and like, getting like my life threatened and stuff on Facebook?
Well, that's par for the course on the internet. But let me ask you something. I know some of your hot topics, some of the things that you, not that this is the view, but what do you think about the play of Eric Christensen?
You have asked me that.
Well, I've got to go there. Do you think we should cut him some slack as Ranger fans?
That's like a trick question. For right now, I think he's been playing really well. I don't know if I trust that to continue, and I don't think he's had really earned, you know, a place in the, you know, out of the line of fire necessarily. I think as soon as he does something wrong or reverts to his old ways, even for a shift, then, you know, he's fair game again. But I don't think you should be ripping on him while he's playing well. You know, that doesn't really make any sense. It's counterproductive. So
right. He's
been playing well, and I hate that because I don't like him, and I'd rather he play like shit so that I can, you know, pick on him.
That is a Ranger fan in a nutshell. Is that we want him to do good so the team wins, but if we don't like the guy, we want to see him fail so we don't have to be aggravated by him anymore. So always caught in between, like, these certain fringe guys that come up every year, you know, whatever they are, you know. And sometimes I'm like, even for the show, I'll say, you know, if the Rangers lose here, it's going to be a good show Wednesday. But if they win, it won't be as good because people won't be complaining. But then I'm like, well, what are you, an idiot? I want the Rangers to win.
They'll always find a reason to complain. Are you kidding me?
It's true. It's exactly
Ranger fans
true.
Always find a reason to complain. I mean, come on, after the game against Montreal, somebody went up there and the Rangers are pathetic. They need to get their power, but like, they just won 3 in a row. The first thing you say is they're pathetic because they, you know, only got one power play goal. At least they were 30th in the league on the power play, now they're 23rd. They still suck, but they don't suck as bad as they did.
I think they look good. I think they look good.
Wouldn't that be a great slogan? New York Rangers hockey now 25% less sucky.
Yeah.
See, there you go. That's perfect.
See, I got a future in marketing and PR. I could do all that shit.
I mean, look, I never thought that I would fight with Ranger fans as much as I do, and you know, Eric Christensen is something that most other Ranger fans that I know, you know, I tend to agree with them on, which there are a lot of things that I don't agree with other Ranger fans on. Christensen's been one of those things, but there are people who are still going to say, well, I don't, you know, he still sucks. Well, yeah, overall, I'm not going to give him high marks for the season if he plays 20 good games and then goes back to playing like Eric Christensen. But for right now, I can't really pick on the guy, so I'm just keeping my mouth shut because I don't want to be too nice either. So
right. Well, it's just kind of a wait-and-see thing. That's why I like to ask, I want to gauge all Ranger fans on, you know, what's going on. I mean, there's nothing really to complain about. The Rangers are playing very well right now. We all should be extremely happy. But, you know, I got to ask the questions, the Sean Avery thing. Where are you on that?
You don't know where I'm at. I never disliked Sean Avery until I saw everybody talking about him. I've seen people say he's better than Gabrick. It's insane. It's insane. And I know that Ranger fans are insane, but that's the hero
stupid.
Worship.
That's not even insane. That is stupid.
I mean, the hero worship that I see, he makes them a better team. He had 3 goals last year. Look, Michael Rosenwald had 6 goals last year. Okay? Sean Avery had 3.
And
so,
Michael Rosenwald's a defenseman, too.
And he's a defenseman, and he missed a third of the season hurt. So,
well,
I mean, these people haven't seen Sean Avery play in 3 seasons.
Yeah, I've seen that, too. I've seen Sean Avery should be on the first line. He's and I'm like, no, I don't like that Sean Avery. I think it's a bit much. I think I still feel that it's more of a F you to Torts when they chant that. That's what they mean. That when things were going bad, which I understood why they probably were doing it, was because they were venting towards Tortorella. But now that things are doing good, why are they still chanting it?
Well, look, there's part of it, too, is a large part of it has nothing to do with Sean Avery as a hockey player. It's Sean Avery as, like, a pop culture icon. Sean Avery as a Vogue intern. Sean Avery, you know, mouthy guy who makes the press and dates models and actresses and he's cute and he's this and he's that. Cute doesn't fucking score gold. It doesn't win hockey games. You know, dating models doesn't win hockey games. I don't care what his persona is off the ice. And everybody I know who's ever met him has said, you know, he's a really nice guy with the fans. He's great with the fans. I'm like, that doesn't necessarily surprise me. I don't really give a shit. That's not what he's there for, and regardless of the reasons, even if Tortorella has something to do with it, because Tortorella doesn't like him, and we all know that Tortorella doesn't like him, it doesn't matter why. What matters is that he's not effective under Tortorella. He's not the same player that he was 3 seasons ago. And if he's not going to help the team for whatever reason, then who needs him? Who needs to pay his salary? I want somebody who's
going to
help the team.
And plus, he's just, you know, he's a little bit old now. He's older. He's 32. It's time to kind of get away from that type of player. And he's only playing 4 minutes. I still got, when the games are boring, and I kind of like the fact that out there the bad boy could start something. But I said this in the offseason. It's time to move on from that. But I think Ranger fans are still holding on to that bad boy on the ice. What's he going to do next? And,
yeah, when he waved his arms in front of Marty Brodeur and pissed him off. Like,
right.
And look, anybody who can piss off Marty gets my vote. But, you know, that's not what they need now. And they don't need a sideshow, and they need people who are going to step up and score goals. And look, people have been stepping up and playing well that I wouldn't necessarily have expected to play well. And, you know, if I have to give Eric Christensen credit, I'll give Eric Christensen credit. If he's helping the team and he's helping them win, that's the most important thing to me. You know, that's why I've been defending Jeff Wojwicka. He's played pretty well. He's not Mark Stahl. He's never going to be Mark Stahl. We're not paying him a shitload of money, and he's played well.
No, he's played decently, and I think Eminger's played decently. They've done what they've had to, and that's all you can ask from the 6 and 7 guys, is to be steady and not a liability out there. So I have no problems with those guys. I think the problem lies with Glenn Sather. I believe that Glenn Sather is an Avery guy. He's loyal to Avery, and he's the one that gets Tortorella pissed at Avery, because Tortorella believes Avery is done as a Ranger, but Sather is in his ear about Avery. One thing I can tell you about Sather is he's extremely loyal, and I believe that he really likes Sean Avery and what Sean Avery brings to the table. And I think that irks Tortorella more about Avery than his play. What I want to see from our fourth line, I don't think Avery can provide it. But I still like the hijinks in an 82-game season. You know, it gets boring, you know, but, again, it's time. The titillation time is over. It's time to win hockey games.
He said tit.
I mean, and that's the thing. I agree. That's the thing is if you don't love Sean Avery, people automatically say that you hate him. I don't hate Sean Avery. You know, I like Avery. I always liked Avery. But I want to hate him now the way people were talking about him because they're making too much out of what he is. And they're talking about his legacy and stuff that he did 2 and 3 seasons ago. And, you know, and it's not relevant anymore, and they're not the same team that they were then. And I don't think that he's what they need right now, and I don't think that when you have a bunch of guys out on the ice busting their ass to win games, I don't think the guy who's got 4 minutes of ice time, and I didn't even notice when he was out there, is the one who should be getting a chance. I don't think it makes any sense.
So,
Listen,
I posed the question to you, and you answered it fully. I applaud you. Why the hell did you call this show anyway tonight? Was there a certain thing you wanted to get off your chest, so to speak?
She missed us.
Not necessarily. I couldn't get any sound on the show, so you know, I had to be able to hear. So, I can always find things to talk about. You know, it's not so much. I'm pretty happy with the way they've been playing. I'm pretty happy with the guys who've been on the team. There isn't anybody I'm, like, super pissed off at. There isn't anyone. There's no scapegoat right now, and I think a lot of Rangers fans don't know what to do about that.
Well,
yes.
They lose a game or two, I'll tell you who's first in line. You don't start scoring. Number 17 in your program.
Well, he's. I mean, if there is somebody who's been lagging, then he's the one that's due. You know, I mean, he needs to start scoring. It's just got to happen.
It's going to take a long time for the fans to get on him. He's in there.
So?
Yeah,
think
they
so?
Love him.
He's reached. He's beloved.
Oh, he's beloved. Look, Messing Gretz. He loves Dubinsky. We try to tell him Dubinsky's not that great. He wouldn't believe us.
I love Dubinsky. He just needs to get going.
But right now he's Dustinsky until he proves otherwise.
Do nothing.
Very true.
All right, Amy, we got to fit in a couple more calls before the end of the show. Do you want to stay on hold so you can listen?
Yeah, leave me on hold.
Okay, we'll do.
Okay.
Thanks for calling,
Amy.
Mm-hmm. Good night.
Night.
Bella Bell also likes loves Doobie. I see hearts are. See, I told you the love for Doobie's there. I love him too,
but he's got to get it going. He's got to get it going. They ain't paying him $4 million we got nothing to show for it. He's got to get going. That's. Hey, look, I wouldn't get on him if I didn't love him.
That's right. Him.
Who did a show with a fake mustache taped to his face after that playoff last year? That was me. Go look at my pictures. It's on Facebook. It's still there. All right. Let's see. Who we got? 631, hang in there for a couple of minutes. Got to bring in DB Maven. He's been holding the longest, and he's been holding for like 6 weeks because we haven't talked to him. DB, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good.
Yeah. Hey, at work tonight. I actually can talk.
Wow. You sound different. Are you nursing a cold or something?
I might have one coming on. But pretty good. I'm a happy camper. I made it to two of the games last week, and they started the winning streak against San Jose when I was there. And I take all the credit for it, of course. You know, there's not a whole lot, and as Amy said very well, there's not a whole lot to be pissed off about. The best thing was, what was the game before that? You and I were on Twitter, Jim, and I just said, that's it. I've had enough of Christensen. I never want to see him again.
Oh.
What does he do? The next freaking game, and I'm there live watching it, and what does he do? He, like, comes out of his shell. Holy crap. Where did that come from?
Yeah. The magic of this broadcast.
I'm telling you, it's got to be something. He was so pathetic up to that point. He was worse than invisible. He was like a ghost of himself on the ice. It was a waste, just a total waste of minutes and time and salary and cap and everything else. And he turns around and, I mean, he makes some great plays. And he's been keeping it up, actually. So, you know, I don't know. It's frustrating to watch sometimes. Doobie, I'll tell you, I think Doobie is playing his heart out. He's really working hard. He just can't manage to find the net. He is just so snake bit. He's got Higginsitis.
That's a terrible affliction.
Holy crap, ain't that the truth?
What do you think about, let me pick your brain here about Brian Boyle. I get the feeling, I don't know, we've talked about this on an earlier broadcast. If this guy had an ounce of angry in him, now it's a mean streak or something. Doesn't it seem to me now, for a third line guy, shouldn't he be hitting more? I mean, do you think he takes the body enough? Do you think we should expect 10 to 15 from him this year, or is that just basically a one-hit wonder from last year?
Well, those are different questions. You know, taking the body, I guess I haven't noticed that he's not taking the body. Maybe a little bit less than last year, I guess, if I think about it. I don't know. I could see him taking the body a bit more. As for the goals, I don't know that he's, because I think everybody's kind of gotten pushed down a line almost, that he may not get there. But, you know, it's a long season. It's still early. You know, you've got to give that line a lot of credit because they're doing what's expected of them. And I somebody made a comment today somewhere. I think Prust is, maybe it's the shoulder acting up. He's not really acting like himself. You know, he seems to not be quite with the edge that he's had last week or so. But I think over time you're going to see those guys are going to do just fine. You know what? I don't worry about them. They're winning games. They're playing better as a team. And you know, you got to take them as they come. And every 2 points is 2 points. Every 1 point's a point. And you just keep adding them up. And they're in better shape than they were last year at this time. Now, can they keep it up? That's a different question. Hopefully they can. And it certainly looks like splitting up Gaborik and Richards was the thing to do.
And
worked so far. Can't argue with the results.
Yeah, so far so good. You can't complain about it. That's for sure.
I want to ask you guys, both of you guys, this question because I do respect both your opinions on this subject. I said 3 years ago, actually 2 years ago, that 3 years from then, the Rangers would become an Eastern Conference force. Do you think that is on schedule, or I'm going to have to maybe amend that not next year, but 2 years from then? How close are the Rangers to being that force, possibly next year when they add Kreider? Do you think the Rangers are headed in that direction?
Well, I mean, I'll say that I think they are. I mean, if you know, you have to make a lot of assumptions when you make a kind of a prediction like that. Nobody would have predicted that Mark Stahl wouldn't be around so far the entire season. And that is a huge hole in the defense. And although the defense has stepped up in his absence better than I thought they would, it's still a huge hole. Okay?
It's a hole that I think is not being made that much of and should be by Ranger fans. It really is. This guy is an emerging all-star. Was an all-star last year. And, you know, he's been, you know, they've done a great job filling in for him.
Yeah, I mean, you know, on the other hand, you know, that's the downside. On the other hand, who really expected McDonough to shine the way he has? I mean, this kid is stepping up to the point where, you know, independent people are saying, holy crap, this kid is legitimate. He is going to be an all-star. And I said this to my buddy the other night. You know, you look and you talked about offense. I'll look at the defense. I think in either next year or 2 years from now, you're talking about the Rangers quite potentially having the absolute best defense in the entire NHL. Hands down, nobody could argue it. If you've got Stahl, Girardi, McDonough. Whether Sauer's there or not, I don't know. Okay, but let's, for the time being, say those four, plus McElrath,
Delzato,
and Erickson.
Erickson.
Okay?
There's
eight guys that you know, you can pick and choose, and you've got six or seven of them that could very legitimately be top two pair on any other team in the league.
And that opens them up for trades. Yeah, obviously, they'll have, you know, you got young guys. They would be able to get maybe another forward, perhaps a scoring guy, you know, with that kind
of
depth.
Well, I don't know that you bothered doing that. See, and that's why I went to the defense. You mentioned Kreider. I think that Kreider is pretty much doing everything that's being asked of him at BC this year. I mean, he is having an outstanding season and is being a real leader up there from all the reports that are coming out. And I'll be interested to see if he keeps that up this year because, Richards made the comment when, you know, before the camp started, who is this kid and why isn't he, like, here? You know, and that was just with some of these informal workouts that they were doing. So for Kreider to get the eye of Mike Richards, that's impressive in and of itself. So you talk about Kreider. If Hagelin matures in the AHL, you don't know whether Bork is ever going to make it or not, especially if the concussions continue, but there's a possibility. You know, there's a lot of young core there that can step in the next year or two from an offensive perspective as well. So I don't know that a trade is necessary, and I don't know what you give up in a trade that might really be worth it because you could end up with a situation like you have now where one of your top guys on offense or defense goes down. You know, so there's so much potential there that I don't think you're off base. I think that that they're going to be a force in the Eastern Conference in the next year or two.
Yeah, I really, now that I see it the way it's formed up, if McElrath is the player that we saw in preseason, and not so much what we saw at Traverse City, but he will be a perfect fit for that defense. They'll have that guy that you fear to go into the corner with, the guy that is, nobody wants to dump the puck in on his side, a guy that's going to be physical in front of the net, and you have a world-class goalie. I just can't, unless, you know, we've seen it before. They've, you know, they had a good defense last year. They had problems scoring goals, but they look like a different team with Brad Richards in there right now.
Stepan is clearly seeing the ice well, and really, like a couple of people have said, that he now is used to the speed of the NHL, and when the puck is on his stick, the entire game seems to slow down, and he's very patient, and that's something you don't expect of a guy who's only a sophomore. But I got to tell you that the biggest difference that's very, very visible is Marian Gaborik. Okay, this guy is flying. I mean, there's no two ways that you can. He's just flying. He's all over the ice. He's taking the body. He's forechecking. He's doing everything, and he's even backchecking. Holy crap! Well, I mean, the difference in him from last year is so stark that, you know, he's on a point per game basis right now, and if he can keep that up, who's gonna you know, say, well, let's get rid of him, let's trade him? I mean, there will be people, I'm sure, but the guy's on a point per game roll, and hopefully he can keep it up. I mean, he's making a huge difference because his speed backs people off and is going to open up room for others.
Certainly, we've seen some of that playmaking ability that he's able to pull off. You know, when the defenseman goes to him, he's a good passer too. A lot of people, you know, kind of forgotten about that. He can set you up as well. So yeah, everything's on target, I think. I mean, listen, 2 weeks ago we were bitching and moaning this team stinks. So I don't know where we're going to be next week, but I can tell you one thing, and I agree with you wholeheartedly. The defenseman, and I think, you know, Jim Schoenfeld and J.J. Daniel, whatever they're doing in Hartford is magic, because the guys they're bringing up are doing well. I mean, they're talented, but they've got to be given some credit for the development of these guys as well.
Well, I think you're absolutely right, and it'll be really interesting to see when the next time that we see Tim Erickson, what he's like. I mean, right now, I mean, I said it in Traverse City, and I still believe that during training camp that sending him down was the right move. He does not have NHL strength at this point. He's still a kid. You get him, you know, next year when he's got a year under his belt, and he gets some of that, you know, quote unquote man strength, he's going to be a heck of a player. He's just, you know, he's going to be top four. So you're going to have 6, 7 and top four guys on the defense, and it's going to be a beautiful thing.
Yep. All young too, boys. All young.
The only problem is when all the contracts expire. Holy crap.
Yeah, well, that's a good problem. You know, I know.
That's it. Bring us back down.
Yeah. Where was the youth movement before the salary cap? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We could have had all these guys, right?
Uh-huh,
but
sure.
Uncle Gwen, he wasn't on that program back then.
Well, it even took him how many years after the salary cap to like finally get a dose of reality and go the right way. I don't know what exactly got into Sather, whether he literally got a shot of reality somewhere or whether it's a combination of Gordy Clark or Tortorella or all of the above that kind of worked on him and said, "Hey, jackass, you got to build from within."
I was just going to say, my guess is that it was Tom Rennie.
I think it was.
You know what? That's a really good point, Jim. It could have been Rennie. Could have had a lot to do with it too.
I mean, what was Rennie was what was his title before he became the? He was the director of player personnel.
He was in Gordy Clark's job. Yeah.
Right. So I really think it was. I think it had a lot to do with Randy.
Oh, Magoo, you done it again.
All right, listen, DB, we got to take one more call before we wrap this up. It's good to hear from you. We've missed you.
I missed you guys too. Wednesdays just are a brutal night for me, and I just really can't make the last 15 minutes typically. But I'm glad I caught you on Mondays. It's terrific.
Okay. Good All right. Talk. We'll talk to you soon.
You bet.
All right. Bye. That being said, we'll be on next Wednesday.
Yes.
All right, holding for a very long time, 631-793, you're on Blue Shirt Underground Radio. Thank you for holding. Welcome to the program. Who the hell is this?
It's Brian. What's going on, fellas?
Is this the Bry guy?
Yeah, that would be me.
Oh,
hey guy, welcome to the show.
See, much like DB Maven, Wednesdays suck for me, too. So I catch you guys on the pod all the time. This is my first time calling.
This is your debut.
I know. Popping the cherry, rounding out the program.
Excellent.
So
anyway,
was very mine. Glorious Monday.
Anyways, I just wanted to talk about Dubinsky a little bit, but on a different trend than you guys are talking about. He's the player rep, I guess, to the NHLPA, and I saw an article where people are getting all up in arms now about mandatory visors for people after the Pronger thing and the other guy that got hit in the face last night. So what do you guys think about mandatory visors in the NHL? Dubinsky was like, yeah, the only thing that I was looking forward to get into the NHL besides playing in the Garden was I can get rid of my visor. I just wanted your guys' thoughts on it.
I'm not a fan of making them mandatory.
Not at all.
No, I don't think they should.
I think they should let the states decide.
Because in my opinion, if they're wearing a visor, right? Then what happens? Let's say Ovechkin or Crosby gets his jaw broken, right? With a visor on, he gets his jaw broken. Obviously, they're going to call saw the way the spotlight, you know, was on Crosby for the concussion. So, you know, then everybody's talking about head hits, any head hits. Suppose he gets his jaw busted for him. Then what? We're going to go to the college birdcage? And then and then what happens after that if a guy gets, I don't know, the cage breaks off and the guy gets griddle marks on his face because
head
he got
hit.
Punched with the exact
any head hit.
Paulie. Thank you, Paulie. Paulie D, the Instigators, Tuesday nights on Blog Talk Radio. Then what after that? Then a suit of armor, you know, they got a big shield, you know, they're like the Knights of the Round Table. If they want to wear a visor, let them wear a visor. If they don't, they don't. It should be up to the players. That's just my opinion. Is that
your phone that's popping, right, guy?
We'll go full on jousting, right, with the suits
yeah,
of armor and everything. Forget
yeah.
the puck. No, I mean, I was kind of thinking kind of a hybrid system, kind of like what they did with the helmets, where if you're not wearing one now, it's cool, but everybody else that comes in has to wear one. Because I know everybody in the NHL, in the AHL does anyway. Am I correct?
Yes, you are correct.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I thought maybe that could work.
Everybody should have to wear the Great Gazoo helmet from the Flintstones. Harvey Korman doing the voice there.
Hello, Dum Dum. We used to have that clip. I don't think we have it anymore. Hello, Dum Dum. We used to have that. I don't have it anymore. I don't know where it went.
We probably took it out.
I'm
with Jim on this one. Don't make it mandatory at all. But, it's not. I don't think wearing a helmet is mandatory in the NHL, but I think you can't get insured if you're not wearing a helmet or something. They have, like, some wacky thing there.
It's kind of like a loophole, if you will.
Right, yeah. And so I don't know. I may be wrong about that, too, as well. But, yeah, I'm with Jim. I mean, how far are we going to go? We're going to be wearing these... you know, cages and, you know, and I don't like it. But I figured
I'd bring it up anyway.
I think it's a good topic. I just wanted to mention one thing. How great was Arnie Anisimov stopping that goal in the crease last night? How great
Anisimov
was amazing last night.
I mean, that was a hell of a play. I mean, really, he made like two or three saves. I think he made more saves than Nabokov made tonight. I mean, he was playing, I'll be here all week. Thank you, good night.
There was at least 8 or 9 players in the crease on that one play. It was a gigantic cluster, you know what. It was pretty interesting. I'd never seen anything like that before, and it just seems like, I mean, even going back to last year's playoff series against the Capitals, the refs don't like to blow the whistle for us at all when we have pucks. I guess I've noticed it a couple times now.
Yeah. So you happy? Are you joyous? Bry, you sound a little too low key. I mean, we've been winning a year.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't want to over-jazz the levels in the booth there. But, yeah, I'm extremely happy with the way that the team's playing. 4 wins in a row, you know, like people are saying about Avery. I mean, you know, everybody said everything that really needs to be said, you know. I was actually at the first game, the Garden home opener, and when people were chanting for Avery, I just started laughing, and I was like, this is pathetic. I couldn't really do much because 1 against a couple thousand is not going to work. But
yeah,
I'm with you with the whole Podvin sucks chant. I just don't even bother. But the sad part is that's the only way that the crowd seems to get in the game nowadays. It's quiet at MSG. From the last couple of times I've been there, I don't even want to go anymore. I try and yell and get loud, and people look at me like I have 5 heads.
Yeah, it's gotten a lot.
It's very elitist. You have to have a certain seniority level at the Garden to start the chants. I've noticed that. You really do. You say certain, very elitist, the season ticket holders, some of them. You know, only certain people can start the chants. Only certain people can do this. Only certain people can do that. Fuck them. You want to start the Let's Go Rangers chant? Start the Pot Band Sucks chant. That one's, I want that. I want to hear that one.
I'll give it a shot next time I go.
You've got the new generation of fan who's texting, and people don't like noise anymore. You know, kids are always covering their ears. Yeah, every time they hear a noise, they're in an airport. Oh, everything's noisy. And I don't know. It's a different kind of fan. People look at you like a lunatic if you start screaming nowadays. You keep screaming. And do me a favor, Brian. Find out what section that guy is. Doing that boxing.
All right, I'll bring my binoculars next time. I'll point them out.
All right, Brian.
Take it easy, Brian. Call it in.
No problem.
We got our run. Eddie, always a pleasure.
Good night, everybody.
See you all next week. Thanks, everybody.
Yeah. Take care.
We are off the air.
Super.
Super DJ.
Yeah, we got a lot of callers. A lot of good callers tonight.
Yeah, some old faces, new faces. It's good.
All right, Jimbo.
All right, my friend. I will talk to you later in the week.
Okay, brother.
All right. Goodbye.